You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabach, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who prefers to travel by catapult, Pete Schwabach.
Welcome back. It is time for Act Two here of Nightlight on this Monday edition. Coming to you live from beautiful City Deck Landing in Green Bay. Pardon me. Con, how you doing? You hanging in there?
Yeah, you know, just mailing it in like you said.
All right. Get your feet off the board. Great show tonight, folks. Lisa Hale is still with us. We're going to be back with Lisa in just a moment. She's agreed to stick around a little bit through the news so we can rank our top five all-time sitcoms. Very much looking forward to that. Conrad's going to weigh in, too. I think his will be more contemporary a little bit, but we'll see what happens. Coming up at 6:35, comedian Kristen Leidy will be here in the studio. We always love having Kristen come in. She's going to tell us about her plans for New Year's Eve that involve comedy and laughter, and you probably will want to be a part of that. So, and then at 7:05, you ready for this, Con?
I'm ready.
More comedy. Is it 7:05 we have Dez? Yeah,
yeah.
7:10.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah.
Des Mulrooney, another comedian, will be here who's going to be performing at Memories Ballroom in Port Washington on New Year's Eve as well. If you haven't ever been to a comedy show on New Year's Eve, folks, it is such a great way to ring in the new year. Who doesn't need more laughter, especially as we venture into another year? And then at 7:35, we are going to be talking about a gigantic, and I mean gigantic, big cheese drop in Plymouth with Donna Hahn. And that's a real thing, Con. New York has the ball they drop. Plymouth, Wisconsin is the cheese capital of Wisconsin, according to Plymouth, Wisconsin. We'll push Donna to explain that a little bit as well, because I think we have cheese.
You know, what?
Everywhere.
What type of flavor do you think the cheese is?
Havarti. I don't know. Hopefully it's a smoked Gouda. I hope it's a nice smoked Gouda. But I don't know. It's a real block. It's like an 80-pound block of cheese. So it could crush you if you were underneath it. You're done for. All right. All of that. Our question of the night, folks, is what is your favorite card game? Yesterday was National Playing Card Day. So we will read some texts too coming up. But first, let's get back to our guest, Lisa Hale. She joins us from our Civic Media Oshkosh studios. Lisa, do you have plans for New Year's Eve?
Yes, I do. They involve pajamas, crochet,
wow.
Maybe a fluffy blanket.
Oh, that sounds like a great New Year's Eve. Now, is your husband, are you guys kind of on the same wavelength there, or is he like the go out and party type, or is he just fine staying in too?
No, he is definitely not the go out and party type. He would much rather be at home watching Doctor Who or whatever geek related thing he wants to watch.
You just threw your husband under the bus.
No, well, I'm right there with him. I'm watching the same show. So.
This is from Wallet Hub. I don't know if you saw this. The most popular thing or way to ring in the new year is watch Netflix or some other streaming platform. 35% of the people said that. 24% said go to a New Year's Eve party. 20 said get some sleep. We have turned into a pack of nerds, people. What do you think about that, Lise? It sounds like you're more on the Netflix side.
I've been a nerd since high school, so it just makes sense to me.
Embrace it.
I do embrace it.
There is nothing wrong with that. It's great to have you here, Lee. So we love when you come by here and talk about TV and movies and all this kind of fun stuff. Before we get to our all-time sitcom lists, you're watching a show called Robin Hood that you seem to really like.
I do really like it.
Tell us about it.
It's on MGM Plus, just like From is. And it's a telling of the Robin Hood legend, okay? And it's kind of taking a different tact to it a little bit. It focuses on the differences of the Saxons and the Normans. I'm really just enjoying it. I like the Robin Hood legend anyway. Yeah. It's one of my favorite stories. So being able to delve into this over 10 or 12 episodes has been really fun.
Let me ask you this. When you have so many derivations of this story, Like, I like the story too, but there have been movies, comedies, they've redone it. Like, at what point do you go, all right, I've seen enough? I mean, how into it are you knowing that?
But you have to remember, Pete, that while we may have seen the Costner and the Elways and all of these other versions, right, a Gen Zer may not have.
True.
And I know a Gen Alpha hasn't. So, you know, this is a good way to introduce them to the story and maybe get them brought in. And the production value is very good. It's not like,
okay.
So
what is Generation Alpha? I don't think I've ever heard of that.
You've never heard of Gen Alpha?
No. Conrad, have you heard of that?
They're the ones that are coming up behind Gen Z right now. So right about now, they're 11, 12, 13.
Okay. And Gen Z ends at like 28 or 29 right now, maybe?
I think so. Okay. Don't get me started on where things block off because I don't know exactly. All I know is that my nephew is a millennial. I am an older Gen X. Okay. And my friends have Gen Alpha kids. That's all.
Wow. That's a lot to remember on top of all your spider information. I'm also Gen X. Con, you're Gen Z, right?
I think so.
Okay. See, that's such a Gen Z response. I don't know, man. Yeah, sure. Why not? Yeah, I'm a Gen
Z. Why not? Yeah, I'm Gen Z.
All right, Lise, let's get to your list of all-time favorite sitcoms.
Most def.
Not a weak link in the bunch. And I love how you went different eras, too. Mine are mostly 70s, or I would say 80s, 90s. You're kind of spread out here. You've got number six. What's your top six, actually?
Yeah, so it's my top six. We can start with number six. Number six is a tie.
Yeah, well, Coupling. I don't know that show.
You don't know Coupling?
I don't think so.
Okay. Coupling is a UK sitcom.
Okay.
And I think they had maybe, I want to say six seasons, but I'm probably very wrong in that. And, you know, UK sitcoms are very, very short. You get like maybe six episodes
They're
in a season.
They're great. Yeah, I love it.
And they're very funny. And Stephen Moffat wrote the Couplings. And I don't know if you know his name, but he's also connected to the Doctor Who universe and everything. Okay. But Coupling is extremely funny, and it is Friends before we had Friends.
Oh, so that's why you put like a slash Friends. Okay.
Right. Because they're very similar. It's a group of, you know, basically back then it was Gen X. So a group of Gen X friends that are all together, coupling up, decoupling, recoupling, all that, you know, just like in Friends.
All right. So that's number six. Number five is a show. I did watch this for a cup of coffee back when it first came out. I don't know why I went away with it, but it's a great cast too. Hot in Cleveland.
I love it.
MeTV, right?
Beg your pardon?
I think that was the MeTV network. That was one of the first big ones they put out, or maybe I'm mistaken. But anyway, Hot in Cleveland is a great show.
It is. You know, Valerie Bertinelli and Betty White. You cannot go wrong with Betty White in any sitcom. I'm sorry. I just adore that woman so much.
She's so great. I know. Really. All right. Is. So and number four.
Dirty-minded?
Your number four on your list is Ghosts. I don't know this show either. I mean, I've heard of it.
Okay. So Ghosts is also an American version of a UK sitcom. You can tell my humor lies in the UK. It really does. It's about a innkeeper who fell, and now she hit her head, and now she can see ghosts. And there are like many generations of ghosts that live in this old home that she's
nice.
And it's hilarious. Really funny.
Love that
Very
premise.
Well written.
Did you ever see the Ricky Gervais film Ghost Town?
I think, no, I did not see that one.
He has that issue too, like where he can see ghosts, and it's people asking him to make amends for them. They've passed on before they got to make amends. It's a great premise. He's really funny, and it's very sweet. And Greg Kinnear plays one of the ghosts too that he sees. It's a great, great movie.
I'll have to put that on my list.
Lisa Hale is here. She is the very talented News Bureau Chief here at Civic Media for Northeast Wisconsin. It is great to have her here talking TV. We are working our way through her list of her six favorite sitcoms. We are at number three, The IT Crowd, Lise.
The IT Crowd. And again, a UK sitcom.
Yeah.
You've seen it, right?
I've seen the pilot. Is that where he gets up in the middle of the board meeting and just jumps out the window because, yeah, because he knows they're going under or something like that?
Yes.
Great gag.
And it is a fantastic.
Yeah, I got to check that out more.
It's just really funny. I mean, if you've ever heard anybody say, have you tried turning it on and off again when referring to anything IT related?
Right.
Imagine that constantly. One of the characters actually had a like reel-to-reel cassette recorder kind of thing
right.
set up next to his phone, and he would answer the phone, IT, and hit the button. Have you tried turning it on and off again?
Yeah, I got to check that out. I laughed hysterically at the pilot. Some of these, I don't know, you watch so much, you forget about it. Or a couple years goes by before they release another season, and you're like, oh yeah, I used to watch that.
That's the problem with UK sitcoms is yes. It can be years.
Yeah, and a year's wait for a 6-episode season. I like that their seasons are shorter because I think they're tighter and they're funnier. But I'm with you. So number 2 on your list, Conrad can maybe relate to this because he likes one of the spinoffs, is The Big Bang Theory.
Absolutely. I absolutely love, of course, I'm a big nerd. I'm a huge nerd. And I'm sorry, but Sheldon Cooper is also my brother. So, you know,
you say you're a nerd, but you know, there's very few nerds I've met in my life and they're lovely people, but I would not be scared of most nerds. I'm a little scared of you sometimes. Like,
never be scared of me. I'm weird, but I'm not going to hurt you. I promise.
Okay. All right. I'm okay with that. Conrad, are you scared of Lisa? Like you have an edge to you sometimes where I just would not want to get on your bad side. Is that fair?
No. And that's one thing that my husband does say, you know, don't get on Lisa's bed. She'll go scorched earth. And I probably would.
All right. Number 1, The Golden Girls. Great
Amen.
Show. Yes.
Hands down.
Betty White again.
Betty White,
yeah.
Best sitcom ever. And it, you know what's funny is I still watch it to this day. I will do complete series rewatches. It's my comfort show.
Yeah.
And I will put that on and I will giggle just as hard as I did the first time I heard it.
It's a great show. And so many people on the show, because we talk about TV a lot, have said it's their comfort show as well. So it just has that vibe to it. Conrad, do you want to share your favorite? Well, you're a young Sheldon guy.
I like young Sheldon.
And I do too. Yeah, but it's one of your faves.
I'd put it at like 5 for me, probably.
Okay. And tell Lisa your number
Coach
1.
Coach is in yours, isn't it?
I really do like Ghost. That's a fantastic show. I've seen that. I haven't seen the newest season yet, but I've watched all the other ones. Really good.
Tell her your favorite show.
How I Met Your Mother. I've seen it like 10 times, probably. More than that, probably. Actually,
have you seen that, Lisa?
I have seen How I Met Your Mother. Yeah. I have. And it's probably top 20 for me.
Okay.
But yeah, I definitely think that.
That's no slouch.
It's not a slouch. I mean, Allison Hannigan is hilarious. Her comedic timing was really good. And so I have to give it. And come on. Neil Patrick Harris.
he's great.
Michael Lothario.
Love him.
Come on. That's classic.
All right, I'm going to give you my 5. Do we have time? Can we keep you for just 2 more minutes, Lise? We have a really short break
2
here.
2 more minutes.
I know.
Okay.
We keep you just like I get talking to you, and we have so much to talk about. So I'm blaming you, Lisa Hale is here. We'll keep her. I swear, just for 2 more minutes, I'm going to give my top 5 shows, and I want her opinion on them. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. you really were mailing it in there, and so was I. Like, you're starting the intro music. I'm off talking to our next guest, and I'm not paying attention either. So. And we've got Lisa Hale waiting in the wings here very patiently for us. Lisa Hale covers news here at Civic Media for Northeast Wisconsin. She is the bureau chief, and she is a blast to talk TV with. So, all right, Lisa, you ready for my top five?
I am. I'm okay. So ready for this.
I've got actually six as well and an alternate, so I broke the rules. But I'm going to go backwards. Larry Sanders. The Larry Sanders Show. You ever see that with Gary Shandling?
Yes.
Love it. I did not count the animated, like The Simpsons is one of my all-time favorite shows too. I left that off the list just because.
I don't count animated as sitcoms, even though they kind of are.
They are. Yeah. I don't know why. All right. So number five for me is All in a Family. All in the Family, I should say.
Okay.
Classic Norman Lear. Number four, The American Office. Even though it was derived from The British Office, which at that time was one of my all-time favorite shows. 12 episodes. That was it. And it was all tight. In some ways, I admire more what they did in America because they had to fill an entire season. And I thought they did that beautifully. I kind of tipped my hat to that show. I thought it was great. And I love Steve Carell.
I think the reason... why I didn't get as much into the American Office as I should have is, you know, spending time in the corporate world, I didn't want to see it.
It hurt. It hurt to watch. Number three, Modern Family. Love Modern Family. Love Cam and Gloria. I just think, and Phil Dunphy, love the show.
Oh, yeah.
Number two, Cheers. Okay. Hard to go wrong, a staple in American sitcoms. And then number one, yes. I had to go Seinfeld because I just think it was groundbreaking for network TV at the time.
It was groundbreaking. I have to give Seinfeld that. It was groundbreaking. There was times when I didn't find it funny, but there were other times when I just lost it and could not stop laughing.
Lise, this is so much fun always, and please forgive me for keeping you so long. I will be cognizant of your time next. I cannot believe when we start yakking away, it's like all of a sudden we haven't even talked about one thing yet, and we're like 20 minutes into the conversation. So thank you.
It happens because we have such similar tastes.
Exactly, and you're just you're a great conversationalist, and I love your tastes and your opinions on movies and TV. So it's always and spiders for that matter. So
and spiders.
Always so much fun, my friend. Keep doing a great job here at Civic Media. Love listening to you on the radio. And next time we do this, I'll get you out of here sooner.
Hey, whatever floats your boat there, Pete. Me in later or keep me short. I don't care.
All right, Conrad, we're keeping her for the whole show next time.
Sounds good.
Can't do that tonight.
Thank you, ma'am. Have a great New Year's, and we'll talk to you soon.
You too, Pete.
All right, thanks. That's Lisa Hale, folks. She does outstanding work here at Civic Media, and she's always fun to have on the show. Coming up in just a few minutes after the news, Kristen Leidy will be here, a Northeast Wisconsin-based comedian. She's going to tell us where we can see her. She's a very funny comedian. She'll be playing locally for New Year's Eve here in Northeast Wisconsin, but she's got a lot of other dates coming up, too. And we'll talk to her about what she's been up to as well. Lots to talk about in the way of comedy and New Year's Eve fast approaching. So this was kind of strange, Kyle. Where do you fall on this list? You've got Netflix or another streaming platform. 35% of Americans, that's how they'll spend their New Year's Eve. 24% will go to a party. 20% will catch up on sleep. And the rest, 10% will scroll through social media on their phones.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Scrolling on social media for New Year's.
How about you do that while you're watching a streaming platform? You get to kill two birds with one stone.
You know, I think the Netflix one will be a little bit higher this year.
Yeah, because of Stranger Things.
Yeah, with the two-hour movie that they're putting out for last episode.
What are you going to do? Are you going to see it in the theater? Or are you going to watch it at home?
I do want to go see it in theater, kind of, but also, I don't know. I'm going to a party and one of my friends in Milwaukee, so.
Same. Not to that party, but I'm gonna party.
You're invited,
I'm gonna party it up, and then I'm gonna crash at your huge apartment before your lease runs out.
There's nothing in there, so you can sleep on the floor.
By the way, the remaining 11% said other or no preference.
So just sitting in silence.
Just a bunch of bums. They don't want to do anything.
Just sitting in silence, and just that's it.
Pulling a putty and staring at the wall. The putty character, of course, from Seinfeld. So there you go. that breaks it down. I'll be going to a party and probably watching Stranger Things because I'll probably ring in the new year at 11 because there will be younger kids at this party and the parents will have to leave. And then I'll probably watch Stranger Things with the kids. We'll go home. It's 2 hours.
2 hours long.
That's not too bad. I can handle that on New Year's Eve.
I can handle you know, I'm definitely, as soon as I get home the next day, I think either I'm going to go to theaters or watch it at home. I haven't decided yet, but I'm watching
it. You're definitely going to save it for New Year's Day. What about
definitely
football?
Watching it. Football?
Yeah. There's football on a New Year's Day, right?
And we don't need it.
Oh, wow.
That's how much this Stranger Things.
That's from
the finale means to me.
Dude himself, Conrad, just downplayed football on New Year's Day. But yeah, this is like the big deal. I mean, it's a brilliant marketing tactic too.
Oh, yeah.
It came out at Thanksgiving with 4 episodes. 3 episodes were released on Christmas Eve. This is the last season, and then they're going out with a bang with 2 episodes on New Year's Eve. I think it's brilliant. So we'll do that. I'm gonna tell you at some point, I gotta get to these two. This is the top cities for New Year's Eve. If we have time, we'll get to that tonight.
Is Marinette on there?
Very good. Christmas City, USA is not
on
the New Year's list. I know, it's a bummer. There were two Wisconsin cities on there, though, in the top 50.
Kewaskum?
Kewaskum is not on there. it's because people like you move. The true party animals leave.
Yeah, that's
leave.
True. That's true.
And but that's as good a city as any to watch Stranger Things in. So, ladies and gentlemen, coming up after the news, comedian Kristen Leidy will be here in the studio. We'll get caught up with Kristen and find out where you can see her on New Year's Eve. That's coming up next. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you.
Hey, this is Jamie McShane, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are halfway through this evening. Live shows tonight and tomorrow, and then taking a few days off the rest of the week to ring in the new year with family and friends. Hopefully you all have great parties to go to, and we'll be safe out there. Such a fun week, the week between Christmas and New Year's. So fun, we had to invite our next guest to come in here and join us in the studio. She's been here several times before, and she makes me laugh. And she's, on top of all that, she's a very nice person.
Oh, thank
Kristen
you.
Kristen Leidy, the comedian, the very nice comedian.
Thank you. That's
You're very
a
welcome.
Great intro.
Well, you know, it all goes downhill after that.
Mm-hmm.
So. You know, but for right now, it's going well.
Absolutely. I had a doctor's appointment this morning, and I made the nurses laugh, and that always feels like, yes.
Oh, that's... So, yeah. So can I ask you to elaborate? Like, mm-hmm. did you tell a joke? How did you do that?
I try to just sneak in little asides, like little funny comments, and they'll always pause for a moment, and then, ha, 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 ha. Like, yes, I got them.
Like, do they know you're a comedian?
No.
Okay.
No, that would break the rule.
Is that a rule? Because I feel like if I made someone laugh, my urge would be to go, hey, you can see me New Year's Eve, but just to get some more butts in the seats.
See, you're
right?
better at marketing than me. I should have had you tag team there.
I was never that good at it. But yeah, I did learn when I was a stand-up that you have to be, especially when I moved to LA, you had to promote yourself because no one else is going to do it. So are you're not a fan of doing that typically?
I just don't think about it. And I'm not good at it. And I love the idea. I'm a 90s kid, so I came out of like everything is organic. And if it's meant to be, it'll happen. You just got to follow your path and don't be a corporate sellout. And now I'm learning corporate sellouts make a lot of money.
Well, and you have an advantage because with what you do, you can bring that to someone else's day. Rarely does a nurse or a physician's assistant get to inject themselves into people's lives. I suppose if there was an accident or something horrible, they could do that.
But, yeah, that's true. My injection is more fun.
You could show up and tell jokes at a car accident. Now, hey, I think we need a little laughter here. Mm-hmm. It's great to have you here, Chris. How have you been? How are things going?
I've been so good. I am officially engaged.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, he made an honest woman out of me.
Look at that. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, he did it in Mexico after a cemetery tour that we were on.
Oh, dear.
So I feel like he knows me so well.
Cemetery tour, like you could make the obvious joke there, you know, I hope, you know, whatever it is. But you like cemeteries. They're kind of fascinating.
Yeah, he tells me any trip we go on, he just Googles that city and haunted and finds something for us to do that he knows I'll love. And he's never been wrong.
Did he propose at the cemetery?
He did, yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. Do you think that could be a bad omen in any way?
No, actually, they said in Mexico it's really good luck. So he didn't even know that. So we're on that right path.
All right, very good. When's the big day?
We're thinking October 2027. We just moved into a new house, and we have to put a lawn in. We got to save a little money. And
Yeah,
we got to save up for that open bar.
Yeah, you got to have open bar, right? Yeah. Here's what I was warned. I got married in Wisconsin, too. My wife is from here, and they said, don't do open bar, because Wisconsinites love to sample drinks and use that opportunity. I've never had a Harvey Wallbanger before. Let me try it, and I'll take one sip. But I didn't find that to be the case.
No, they will always finish a drink.
Yeah. Correct. We are talking about Wisconsinites here. Are you a native Wisconsinite?
I am. I was actually, I grew up in Green Bay and then lived there until 2008. 2008 to 2018, I lived in Chicago, and then I came back in 2018.
So what your husband-to-be, is he supportive of your stand-up career? Is he a stand-up? What is his line?
Oh, he is absolutely supportive. Like, I've never met a man that was more ride or die that supports me so much. He loves going to shows. He loves going to open mics. He'll even go to open mics with me when we're on vacation. I know. Yeah. I was like, you're the best. he loves coming to shows. He loves meeting all the comedians. And, you know, sometimes he'll give me a note or two, and it's helpful. And sometimes when shows don't go well, he'll give me the, you did your best, champ. And it always feels good, too.
I love this guy. This just really sounds like a great catch. So congratulations. All right, so I have to ask you before we get into the comedy, the nuts and bolts of the comedy racket, do you have a favorite card game?
Yes, I love War.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, just a real quick, like no thought really, just bam, bam, bam.
One of those games that you don't glaze over when people are telling you what the rules are, because it's so simple.
Yeah, if you got more than three rules, I'm out.
What is the rule with the ace, though, in War? Is it low or high?
I think it's high. I think it actually depends on who you're playing with. I think you call it from the beginning.
Okay. So, but if you're playing with a cheater.
Yeah. You got to watch out for those cheaters. Although the Lighty family, they loved poker. I learned poker before I was six. So that was maybe indicative of problems. I don't know.
Jeez, no kidding. What poker, like Texas Hold'em or the various?
Change the Diaper was a big one.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't even remember it now. I just remember the name made me giggle.
Do you play Hold'em?
My dad does. My dad can walk into any casino and win $500.
Wow.
I did not inherit that gift.
I love Texas Hold'em. That's my game. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Me and my dad would get along.
We would. We could become a force. But what's the change the diaper?
I don't remember. I'll have to Google it later. My great-grandma would be so disappointed in me.
Is she listening?
No, she's long gone. Okay. But I'm sorry, Hazel.
Oh, that's a great name for a great-grandma. All right. So tell us about, you got a great gig coming up. Locally. Love that, too. Tell us where you will be New Year's Eve.
Yeah, New Year's Eve, it's going to be a change. I won't be in bed by 10. I'm going to be at Skyline Comedy featuring for John Caparulo.
Tell us about this night. Okay, so this is either two shows or one. Will you be on stage at midnight ringing in the new year?
You know, it's going to be two shows, one starting at 7, one starting at 10:30.
It's a big, you can get a nap in between.
Yeah, hope so. I'll be doing like 25 to 30 minutes, I imagine. And then John is
in a row?
Yes, in a row.
Whoa, that's impressive.
Yes, and then John is a force of nature. He'll probably get up there and do an hour 20 or something. He's so funny. He's got such a huge catalog of jokes. He's really, really wonderful. If you haven't seen him, you should come on out. He is just like the sweetest, funniest dad. He draws comic books. He's really great.
So is he a clean comic for the most part?
You know, he's not overly dirty, but he's definitely not 100% clean.
Okay.
I'd say he kind of strides the line.
What about you? Where do you fall in that?
I don't like limitations, and I don't like being told I have to do clean comedy. I usually will like not do those shows, but the majority of my comedy is not really dirty. Yeah.
I'm with you. That's a great answer, actually. Do you find, we were talking about this a little bit before you came on, I always loved, and it's been years since I've done what you're doing, but I loved opening for someone who had a following, because when the crowd shows up there, They're ready to just listen and not heckle and be jackasses or over drink. Yes. They pay to see the show, and that's what it should be every night.
They're so well behaved and so on board and so excited to be there. Like,
yeah.
A lot of times if you're opening for someone that doesn't have a following, it's like, prove yourself to me, you know,
right.
And there's this attitude within the crowd and you got to break them and bring them on board. But opening for Brian Posey and John Caparillo, Kristen Key, you know, they have such a huge following that it just like, it feels like getting into a warm bath.
It's like a vacation.
So welcoming.
Yeah,
because it's like this idea that if the person they're there to see trusts you, they trust you.
That's a, wow, great answer. How did you get connected with this John Caparillo?
Yeah.
Like, did he choose you to be on the show or is it
you know, I submitted to Skyline a few years ago and we just hit it off. I think we're both quiet nerds and we enjoyed the energy we bring to the green room. So a lot of times when he's come back, he has selected me to be his feature, which I'm very grateful for.
That's excellent. And listen, when you're headlining, you want that. You want someone who's going to set the table, right? That's kind of your whole job. Mm-hmm. Get him riled up, and then he comes in and closes, and it's great.
Oh, absolutely.
We were talking about this, too. New Year's Eve used to be you couldn't not work it if you were a comedian because it paid so well, like double or triple sometimes even.
Oh, wow.
But you said it's a little more now.
Yeah. I would say it's about 50% more than you'd make on an average night.
All right.
But, of course, that probably varies throughout the country.
Now, will your fiancé be at the show?
He will, yeah.
Okay, so that's good. See, sometimes I would travel, and then it's me and the other guy who I don't really know that well on midnight ringing in the new year, and all these couples are hugging and kissing and popping champagne, and it's like, you shake hands. It's like, all right, going back to the hotel, you know.
Yeah, do a fist bump. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, except he's normally in bed by 9, so I don't know how he's going to do a 10:30 show.
Oh, wow.
We'll see.
My wife and I are like that. I'll stay up to like 1 o'clock or
me
whatever. And now the kids are home. So we're all staying up watching movies and she's in bed. She can't make it past 10 o'clock and she feels like left out.
Aww.
So I'll tell her.
Someone's got to wake up early and take the mom shift.
I'll tell her you said that. Aww. You got sympathy tonight. Hey, Kristen Leidy is my guest. She's a very funny comedian from here in Northeast Wisconsin, Green Bay, born and raised, and kicking it out in the burbs these days. But you can see her at the Skyline Comedy. Is it the Comedy Club or Comedy Cafe? Skyline Comedy.
I think it is Comedy Cafe, actually. They do serve a mean pretzel bite, so, you know.
Oh, I love a good mean pretzel bite. But you can see her there New Year's Eve. Tell us, what other gigs do you have? I was looking at your schedule. You got a pretty full plate.
Yeah, I'm really excited. In 2 weeks, I'm going to be out in San Diego, and I'm going there for work. So I just kind of, like, threw a last-minute line out.
Oh, nice.
And Comedy Heights is a really great theater show there, and they're having me on again. I did their show a few years back. So it's always nice to go back. They run a really fun room. So I'll be there the 16th and 17th. And then at the end of this month, we are doing Don't Tell shows, which are our fun pop-up shows.
I love, that's such a great concept.
Yeah, we're doing those the last weekend of January. Friday will be in Appleton and Saturday will be in Green Bay. And the location's a secret.
So I know that I've had people like from Comedy City on the show and stand-ups on the show. Is it a mixture sometimes of improv and stand-up? Do you ever do that, or is it typically this or typically that?
You know, for the Don't Tells, we do strictly stand-up, John Egan is one of the co-producers, and he is an improv phenom, so maybe we should, I don't know if we could incorporate that, maybe. It might be fun.
I'd love to be a phenom of some sort. I think John is the first time I heard that from, that term, Don't Tell Comedy, and I just thought it was such a great... That's so great.
Yeah, John's awesome. And Trevor Klumpner also helped us
Trevor
run it.
Oh, Trevor was here just a couple of weeks ago. He's fun. Did you introduce me to Trevor?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you get commission for that?
No. Okay. I mean, I do now.
It's just a fist bump. All right, so you've got another really cool date coming up in March. I know it's a ways out, but and Conrad might know this guy, Brian Posehn.
Yeah, Brian's
Tell
the best.
Tell us about Brian.
Oh, he is so funny. He really came to fame in the 90s as a stand-up, and... you know, is like we were talking about earlier, 90s kids, is someone who just followed his own individual narrative.
Yeah.
He loves metal. He loves comic books. And and he's grown an immense following of fellow nerds that love him. And he is so funny and such a delight to work with. I'm really excited for March. Those shows were supposed to happen in August.
Oh.
Because last year we did a couple runs together. We did a theater in Minneapolis. Just a wonderful time, you know, getting to open for Brian's people is Amazing.
That's so cool. And he's on the show. Was it Big Bang Theory or
Young
Sheldon?
Oh, yes. Yeah, he was on Big Bang Theory. Yeah. And now they're doing a spinoff, which is why the August shows got canceled. Okay. He had to film because he's famous.
Wouldn't that be something?
But it's called Stuart Saves the World, and it's on HBO Max. It's going to be premiering, I think, next month.
Have you seen that, Con? Are you a Brian Posehn fan?
I mean, kind of.
Yeah. Seems like you could have, even if you had to lie a little bit there. Obviously.
But yeah, Stuart Saves the Universe, I think, and it's going to be more like adult humor.
Okay.
Whereas The Big Bang was more like, you know, network friendly.
Absolutely. All right, so you got Three Ships Brewery in Sheboygan, too. We've got about 30 seconds before we'll do a break, and we'll come back and talk with more with Kristen. But what is that a good? That seems like a really cool room.
I haven't done it yet. I'm really excited. Oh. Mike Maxwell asked me to do it, so I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, that's so great. All right, we'll talk about a few of Kristen's dates when we come back, and I'll probably most likely ask you what you're watching on TV.
Sure.
Talk a little more comedy, have a few laughs. It's going to get crazy here, folks. Don't go away. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. You lift me above the old routine. Make it
nice, play it clean. Jazz Radio. Welcome back. Con, you are really into Carole King.
She has some great tunes.
Do you feel the earth move under your feet whenever you hear her music?
Well, my feet are on the board right now, so. Yeah,
because you're mailing it in. All right, Kristen Leidy is here, folks. She's a very funny Green Bay-based stand-up comic, and she will be at the Skyline Comedy Cafe or Club.
If you want it to be.
If you're paying the money, they probably don't care either. She will be there New Year's Eve with, tell me the headliner's name.
John Caparulo.
I have a good friend named John Caponera, and I always want to go there.
Yeah, so very close.
Mm-hmm. So you can see her there or at many of her other dates. She's got a Don't Ask, Don't Tell. You walk in, they will not ask you your sexual orientation or your sexual preference. That is my vow to you. That's at the end of the month, and then you've got March. You'll be back at the Skyline, mm-hmm. opening for Brian Posehn, which should be an absolute blast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna kind of marry your worlds here,
okay,
Kristen, because you do a lot of work with unions, teachers unions in particular, mm-hmm. which I applaud you for. My wife is a teacher, and since we moved right back here after they dissipated the unions mm-hmm. in Wisconsin, and I see it now, they have, or at least it feels like they have no power. And sometimes, but let's take that and go the comedy route. Could there ever be a union in stand-up comedy? Because I was telling you during the break about how I led kind of a boycott more mm-hmm. than a strike against comedy clubs in Chicago years and years ago. Could that happen, and how would that happen?
Yeah, actually, a lot of comics want to talk about this because, you know, pay rates really haven't changed since the 1970s. The thing is, like, for a comedian union to really take hold and be effective, comedians have to say no to certain standards. And I think the thing is most difficult is you still have comedians out there that will do a lot of work for exposure for free.
Yeah.
So we're really underselling ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So like collectively, we would have to come to the decision, like, these are the standards we want to see maintained, and no one is going to go around those standards for stage time.
Right.
Which,
that's tough.
It's tough. Yeah. Yeah. And you got a lot of people out there, you know, they have rich parents who are fundraising for them, so they don't need to make those minimums.
You are so right about that, too. I always say that when I moved to LA, I was so blown away by the amount of people that live there and their apartment was paid for by their parents.
Yeah.
Like, poor kids don't go into the arts unless they're pushed at an elementary school level, I think, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. Could it work if you, like you say, there's always going to be someone willing to work for less just to get seen or whatever. Could you have a union or like a SAG-AFTRA type thing that comedians can get into after they've done so many years. So they would respect that. Is that a possibility?
You know, I think there would be potential there with the collective buying power in terms of the unit getting something like the insurance, you know, like yeah. SAG does, that people are really interested in. So I think there is potential there.
Hmm. Okay. I just always thought that was interesting because you're right. The money, at least not for first time headliners, has not gone up. Mm-hmm. In probably 30 years or more, mm-hmm. it's still the same rate. And it's like minimum wage not going up yeah. since I worked at McDonald's in the 80s. Mm-hmm. It's like doubled. It was like $7 an hour or something right now.
Yeah. And I feel like it's detrimental to the art form because if you're not having the voices of working people, the narrative within comedy then gets sort of unhinged from reality.
Yes. My dad is such a jerk. He didn't let me take the Lamborghini out. You can't relate to that. Come on.
Oh, no.
Unless the comedy club is just called the One Percenters or something. I mean, and then they wouldn't have to paper the room at least because everybody would have the money.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about who were your influences when you started doing stand-up?
Yeah, actually, when I started doing stand-up, it was probably about 13 years ago, but I really grew up on Bill Hicks, George Carlin.
Nice.
You know, with my grandpa and my dad listening to those on vinyl. And
wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
But it felt like it wasn't something normal people could do. You had to be preordained by the gods and then you yeah. got your HBO special. So it wasn't until I moved to Chicago that I saw how terrible open mics are that I was like, wow, anyone can do this.
Bill Hicks, a legend. George mm-hmm. Carlin, a legend. Mm-hmm. Those are pretty big shoes to fill. Did your dad ever see you do stand up? Knowing that he liked really edgy comics and legends, were you intimidated to have him come to a show?
No, actually, my parents have always been super supportive of my comedy. So like dad comes to shows quite a bit and really enjoys it.
Yeah.
So it's always been nice. Like I opened for Bobcat Goldthwait a couple months ago. And the way my father shoved me out of the way to meet Bobcat was like, wait a minute.
Does your dad like your husband to be? That's the
yes, okay. very much. All oh right. my God, he gets this faraway look in his eye and says, "Rick is so tall." Like, okay.
More specifically, who are your favorite female comics?
Oh yeah, I would say you know within the state we have Chastity Washington, Sasha Rosser, Reagan Nimala, Luis Noe. They're hilarious, and I
Chastity's
love watching
been on the
them.
Show.
Yeah,
I think you introduced
so
me to her as well. She's very funny.
Mm-hmm. And then nationally, you know, Jackie Cation is a home yeah. state hero from yeah. Milwaukee originally. So funny. I got to work with her a couple months back. And Maria Bamford is my number one. She's the white whale of comedians I want to work with.
Boy, you got great, like, you're so on the right track when those are your favorite comedians, right? Like, just from when you started, if those were your personal heroes, mm-hmm. what great influences.
Yeah,
right?
I feel like I just love people who aren't afraid to say it like it is.
Yeah. Well, keep up the great work. Your book, Uniontown, where can people get that?
Yeah, you can send me a message on Instagram. I'll probably just give you a copy for free.
Wow.
It's just sort of a passion project I put out with my friend Whitney Wasson, who illustrates Sober Rabbit. And I wrote sort of a zine of essays about my reflections of working in organized labor for the past 15, 20
yeah.
years. And they illustrated it in the style of Busy Town by Richard Scarry.
Kristen Liney, keep up the great work on and off stage.
Thank
and,
you.
Let's have you back soon. Maybe
yeah.
before Brian Posehn.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to.
All right.
Hell yeah.
Kristen Liney, ladies and gentlemen, check her out at the... whatever the club, cafe, commissary, the Skyline Commissary.
Skyline yeah. Comedy Food Court.
New Year's Eve, folks. You don't want to miss it. We are coming right back. We'll reset the show and have Des Mulrooney here to also talk about New Year's Eve. It is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.